Today on Family Talk.
Your tragedy does not define you. Your choices in the midst of tragedy define you. What do you want your legacy to be?
Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and on our last broadcast, we shared the story of Michelle Perimsky and the tragic death of her husband. Today, we'll hear more about how she turned that tragedy into triumph. Here now is Dr. Meg Meeker with part two of their conversation on today's edition of Family Talk.
I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and I'm here in Cincinnati, Ohio at Unite 2016, the International Christian Retail Show. And this is a second show with a remarkable guest. My guest is Michelle Perimsky. She is a producer and editor. She has worked with NBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN. But we were talking to her today as an author. She has written a remarkable book called 180, Your Life from Tragedy to Triumph. A Woman's Grief Guide. Thanks for joining me again, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
Yesterday, we were talking about your story. You had experienced a great tragedy. It was in 2007. Your husband took his life. You had one small child, a two-year-old. You were pregnant with your second daughter, and you came home after a day at a museum with your daughter to a note, and your husband said in the note what?
He said that he needed some time to himself and that he was going to be back in about 3 days. And that he loved me. And that was it. I felt at that moment this like electric shock go through my body, and I was just shaking all over. I didn't see it coming. And in fact, he never came home. He took his life. And then 2 months after that, I gave birth to our daughter, Sophia, and 3 months after that, my mom lost her battle with breast cancer.
I'm so sorry. Over the ensuing 2 years, you worked hard to investigate your husband's death, wanting it desperately to be called an accident, not a suicide.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I actually worked hard for 4 months after he died, and I called enough question to what he did that the coroner wrote accidental. But then when I really researched it 3 years later, when I was ready to research it, I did think and think and think about it at night. I could hardly sleep because I was always running through all the facts of what had happened. And I started to see clues like 6 months in advance, and I started to piece it together. And the more I pieced it together, the more I realized this probably wasn't an accident.
This was suicide. And he died from carbon monoxide poisoning in a car in a park.
In a campground.
So after that time, those 3 years, you finally began to reconcile it was suicide. First of all, you said when you accepted it was suicide, that was a real turning point for you. How so?
When I accepted it was suicide, first I was really angry and really sad.
At him?
Yeah. Yeah. And at God. Mm-hmm. Absolutely livid. Livid that I would be in this situation. Mm-hmm. Livid with God started pretty much at ground zero.
I was pretty mad.
The day of the phone call. Yeah.
I was very sad. And then over time, I there was shock. And then eventually I was like, how can I ever trust you again, God, that I was doing what I felt I was supposed to be doing? And my life just exploded.
And you had no warning. Mm-mm. You had not seen your husband struggle with depression.
No.
Because he very nobly tried to hide it from you because he didn't want to dump it on you. And I'm sure he struggled very deeply with that. So you really didn't have any warning. This came out of the blue.
It really did.
Which is terrifying.
It is, because you think, well, if I didn't notice this, then what am I not, what else am I not
what
knowing?
Else am
my
I not,
my yeah. life isn't as safe as I thought it was.
Right, right.
I, in year three, was very angry. I entered, which does not really work well with the whole mom minivan phase. I kind of entered this biker phase where I just wore black clothes and looked like a biker chick a little bit. But I still kept going to church. I was a pill to have in widowed Sunday school because I was mad. And very thankfully, my Sunday school teacher at the time was very kind and answered a lot of questions. Her name was Lori Apon. She's a widow with 8 kids. And she asked, when I told her, she's like, what year are you in? And I said, I'm in year 3. She said, oh, yeah, I was really mad in year 3. Mm-hmm. And that's when I thought, you mean there's a path to this thing?
A pattern.
Yeah. Well, you mean I'm just not going to be perpetually angry because I don't want to be.
Right.
It's not a way to live. And that, over time, I realized I needed to connect with other widows, not only other widows, but other widows who are survivors of suicide, who could helpfully navigate me through this process. I was also exercising, so I started to feel better so I could sleep better. And then I really learned about what foods to take out and what foods to bring in, what superfoods were, green smoothies, green juices, what kind of vitamins to take. I started to learn about what grief does physically to your body, how it biochemically affects your body and the way that your digestive system works, and then which messes with your serotonin, which messes with your sleep.
Everything. It's all connected.
It all throws it off. So how do you have proper supplementation to make sure that you are balancing your body chemically so that you're not fighting chemistry with willpower, but you're fighting chemistry with chemistry? So I realized you had to approach recovery from a body, mind, spirit combination, and that it took time. I needed longer than 12 weeks to recover. And what I've created is a year-long grief guide, and you can continue to use it
year after year
mm-hmm. because this is the way I live my life.
Yeah. And you found that year 1 was different from year 2,
yes.
different from year 3, different from year 4.
Absolutely.
Was there a time in the first couple of years where you were afraid that you too would become depressed and maybe follow in his footsteps?
There wasn't a time. That was the time. I didn't think, I'm afraid I'm depressed. No, I was depressed.
Were you afraid that you would commit suicide?
I was thinking about it, absolutely. But then there is a verse in the Bible that says, I would have despaired unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And one time, I was really, in the first few months, really contemplating suicide myself.
And you had a newborn.
No, I was pregnant. And I knew that if I took my life, I considered that murder. And if I did that also, I would be really messing up the kid that was alive
right.
already. You know, that was outside my uterus.
Yes.
Outside my
yeah,
womb.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I can't go
right.
because I have one inside of me and one outside, and I need to parent both of these children well.
Right.
So I have to find a way that is not just surviving loss, but thriving. Mm-hmm. I can't live as a wilted widow.
Right.
I have to live as a warrior widow.
Wow. So where did you find the warrior strength?
From the Lord.
Yeah.
From the Lord. I can't say that I still don't have days that I'm struggling, days
sure.
that I get scared. But I can tell you the prayer that I pray, which I say is kind of like the prayer of Jabez, but for a grieving woman. And this is the prayer that is a mainstay in our family. Dear God, heal our hearts and minds, give us wisdom, and help us to trust you. Mm-hmm. And look at how God has answered that prayer in this moment, right now. Mm-hmm. That God took me, and I was so broken, so depressed, so lost. And all I knew to do was not turn from my faith, even in anger and rage to the Lord. I totally believe in enraged prayer,
mm-hmm.
but keep praying. Held on to the Lord, held on to the word, and said, I'm not going to leave, but I don't understand you, and I don't understand your ways, but maybe a sliver of me understands your heart
mm-hmm.
in all this.
Yeah.
And what he did is he led me to people, different experts, and I researched and I looked and I found this way that helped me to survive
mm-hmm.
and then thrive. And then I took it and I applied it to 7 other widows that were struggling. And we started to train for a triathlon together. And I saw their lives change in 4.5 months.
Let's walk through your book, because you're describing what you talk about in your book.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the howl. You talk about green grief. You talk about ground zero posse. What's the ground zero posse?
The ground zero posse is basically the people who are around you who are in your corner.
Yeah.
The posse rides in like the cavalry to create order out of chaos. And sometimes...
Your best friends.
Yes. And sometimes people will ride in with a lot of casseroles because they don't know what to do. Yeah. So you end up with like 30 casseroles in your fridge. Everybody says, if there's anything else I can do. And then it's the crickets after 7 to 10 days. And you're like, I can't even tie my shoes. I'm so overwhelmed with loss. And how do I even ask anyone how to help me?
Right.
So in the back of the book, we have something called If There's Anything I Can Do. In Appendix 1, and it gives people who are supporting those who are grieving a step-by-step roadmap for the first week, second week, third week, first month, second month, third month, how you can work as a community
Stay in there.
Just show up.
Get past the first.
You don't have to know what to say.
Get past the first 6 weeks.
Just be there, because you know what? The grief that is changing your friend, that is transforming your friend into being the best version of who they can be, it's also doing the same in you.
Right. Wow.
You transform by helping those who are grieving. That's why, you know, the Lord grieves with those who are grieving, and he blesses those who mourn, because those who mourn are being transformed.
Right. And they don't realize it. But you're absolutely right. So let's go on then to your healing was patterned by a holistic approach.
Yes.
You talk about blood sugar, have sleep aids on hand.
Yep.
Exercise.
And I say organic sleep aids, but, you know, consult your doctor if you need medications.
Magnesium powder.
Exactly.
Calcium magnesium supplements.
Yep.
And what do you think about melatonin?
Well, I have to say, personally, everybody has a different reaction to it. Melatonin jacks me up. I don't sleep with melatonin.
Okay.
So it doesn't work for me, but it can work.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is actually another book that I really recommend called Depression Free Naturally by Dr. Joan Matthews Larson. And I quote her some in my book. She's actually also a widow.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And she really has created this amazing institute that helps people. She has an 86% success rate with alcoholics. And she applies the same principles to depression. And so I would say a companion book to what I'm doing is also Dr. Joan's book, Depression Free Naturally. And I looked at that book, and from learning about how to chemically balance my body, that's what helped stack my deck for success. And that's what helped me move forward.
So let's talk about specifically some of those things that you did to you fought chemicals with chemicals. Talk about some of the nutritional things that you did.
Well, I think GABA is a great supplement. It helps balance the brain. 5-HTP I also take.
So you just went to a health food store and you started looking at the bottles?
No, I read Dr. Joan's book.
Okay.
And I spoke to other nutritionists and I found supplements. She has a whole listing there for depression. And so I followed the protocol and I took those supplements, and those supplements were very helpful, and gave me a leg up.
How long did it take to start working in you and help start your depression?
I want to say everybody's different, right? It took me about a month, but then I saw a real change. And I have to say, for me, I have to remove processed sugar. Processed sugar also depletes your body of nutrients and can really mess with your digestive system and, in some cases, you know, help exacerbate depression. I have to remove it.
So did you take ketchup out of your diet, for instance? Really?
Yeah.
So sugar in anything?
It depends on how serious you are. How badly do you want to get better?
Yeah.
You know, and for me, I was really sad.
Yeah.
And I needed to get better because I need to model for my children what a strong, empowered, loving mother is that wants to empower their journey.
And you have to fight your way out.
Yes.
The widow warrior, the warrior widow. Mm-hmm. I love that. What else did you do? Talk about your diet. What else did you eat?
I incorporated green powder.
What's in green powder?
Spirulina, chlorella, green algae. I will use that in place of caffeine. There's no downside. You have this clean, high-octane energy. And I will use that in my smoothie, and I don't need caffeine. Mm-hmm. So I take that off the table.
I just have a hard time drinking
green. The chlorophyll helps clean your blood cells. Mm. It rejuvenates your body. Another thing that I did that I found was very helpful was I took a blood test called Now Leap. You can find them at nowleap.com. Mm-hmm. Mention 180 Your Life and get a discount on that blood test. But anyway, I took a blood test, and I had a full panel done, and I know what I'm allergic to. Hmm. And it was weird stuff like ibuprofen. There were certain things that I didn't even realize I was challenging my body with. So why not remove all the obstacles out of the way and understand how your body works? I also alkalize my body. I use pH strips to test my morning saliva or my morning urine. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's like testing the oil in your car. Mm-hmm. And the pH strip will show how acid are you versus alkaline. You want to be above a 7.0 if possible. And it's really hard for disease to live in your body above a 7.0. How are you going to know if you're above a 7.0 alkalinity? Mm-hmm. pH strips, they're like $5 or $6. Pick them up on Amazon or at Whole Foods. Mm-hmm.
Talk about exercise.
I think exercise really releases good endorphins in your system. I want to say for people who are just beginning the grief journey, is it realistic that they're going to start an entire triathlete exercise program? Maybe not. But you know what I did do? I would start with taking a good walk outside. Mm-hmm. And I would ask friends to walk with me. And I would get friends or a trainer to work with me at the gym if I didn't want to work out. I had accountability. Mm-hmm. And I set up a finish line for myself so that I wasn't just like, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. And so I would set up a finish line 2 or 3 months in advance. Mm-hmm. I'd set up goals for myself. And your first finish line could be a 5K. Mm-hmm. My first finish line, I kind of color with bold strokes. So my first finish line was an Iron Girl triathlon.
Wow.
I wanted to really challenge myself so I could get my head outside of thinking of all the grief.
Did this start about 3 years after your husband's death?
Training for the Iron Girl actually started about 18 months after.
Okay.
Because I went on a trip with my girls 16, 17 months after, and there were family pictures taken, and I was wearing prairie skirts, and it I'm not saying prairie skirts are bad, but I wasn't rocking the prairie skirt. And so
I realized something needed to be done.
Yeah. Now, what about going to work? Because you were not working outside the home before your husband died. Did you have to go back to work?
I didn't.
You didn't.
We had a suicide clause in the life insurance policy, which I was not aware of until after my husband passed.
Okay.
So heads up, know what your life insurance policy is.
Yeah.
I also say that men and women should have equal life insurance policies. Mm. Men typically take out half as much on their wives as they do themselves, or they don't even take anything out on their wives. And I really think that's important because if a man goes through loss, he needs to be able to have the space and grace to heal.
Yes. Yes.
And the finances to heal.
It's huge.
It is huge.
Because I'm thinking of the other, the other widows or widowers out there who say, this all sounds great, but I just don't have time to exercise and go to the natural food store and do all this kind of stuff because I've got little kids at home and I'm exhausted. And depression also makes you exhausted. One of the side effects of it is that you just don't want to get out of bed. You're just, you just don't feel good.
You know what I say to that? And I have felt it. Mm-hmm. I have been there, and what I do is I set up monthly, weekly, and daily goals. Mm-hmm. And that goal maybe for the day is I'm going to call a friend and we're going to make an appointment and we're going to go to the gym or we're going to take a walk. Mm-hmm. And it could be a 3 mile or a 5 mile walk or whatever is good for you to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then you build on that because when you exercise, you're going to have more energy. When I had a toddler and my toddler was pitching a fit, did I let that rule my house? No.
Right.
When my body is pitching a fit, I'm not going to let that rule my life.
Great.
I'm going to make the choices. Your tragedy does not define you. Your choices in the midst of tragedy define you. What do you want your legacy to be? Mm-hmm. If you want your legacy to be an empowered lifestyle, then you're going to have to make choices that don't feel good.
Right. They don't feel good.
But it's going to result in a life that is going to be much better than you had ever considered.
It's like raising kids or disciplining kids. Exactly. You know, you don't want to do it, but you have to force yourself to do it because the result is so much better.
I just want to tell you about something really fast. There's something called, we know about PTSD, mm-hmm. post-traumatic stress syndrome, which can be a result of a traumatic loss. But PTG, post-traumatic growth, is something that's being studied at Yale and my alma mater, UNC Chapel Hill. And it is the study of people who've gone through a traumatic loss and it doesn't sink them, but instead it becomes the catalyst to their best life ever, their most purposeful, most legacy-filled life. And the way that I wrote 180 Your Life, I interviewed people who have experienced PTG.
Wow.
This is really my roadmap, along with area experts, to post-traumatic growth. And then with Dr. Larry Kefauver, who's written curriculum for Josh McDowell, Gary Smalley, John Maxwell, I wrote co-wrote a curriculum, the Leadership Guide and the Individual Study Guide for 180 Your Life, so that you can empower existing grief groups, existing small groups, or gather people around yourself and have your own 180 Your Life group so that you are creating a foundation of peace and health and wellness. And from that place, then you craft a life
then
you love.
Yeah. So is it part of the book?
There are three books.
Okay.
So it's 180 Your Life, From Tragedy to Triumph, A Woman's Grief Guide, 180 Your Life, A Facilitator's Guide for Small Group Study, and 180 Your Life, An Individual Study Guide and Journal. And in the Individual Study Guide and Journal, I really think it's very important to mindfully process your loss. And I took the outline of 180 Your Life, my own outline of how I processed. It's 250 questions so that when you're journaling, you don't have to look at a blank page. There's a question to answer. And these are the questions I asked myself throughout this whole book so that you're basically writing your own 180 story of your life.
And from tragedy to triumph, we only have a few minutes left. Mm-hmm. Talk about Jesus in the midst of it.
Well, at the beginning, people said, well, the Lord's your heavenly husband now. And I have to say, I was not so excited about
no.
that. And I don't suggest you say that at a memorial service, but I will tell you, he's an excellent heavenly husband. And he has romanced me well. And he has loved me well. And I have been mad. And he has loved me through that anger for years. Mm. And he romances my heart, and he does it still. And when I'm afraid, he meets me still. And he is a worthy, worthy husband. And he is a worthy lover of our souls. And you'll have to read my book, because he did some really beautiful heavenly husband acts in my life.
You have a special scripture that you had shared with me at the beginning. What is that special scripture?
Psalm 118:5. I cried in anguish to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. He didn't answer me by telling me why certain things happened to me. He didn't explain himself to me. He said, I'm here for you, my daughter. I'm walking alongside you. This is the journey that we're on. It can become our grand adventure. I know your heart is broken, and I'm here to bind it up and here to do so much more than that. I'm here to set you free. And he did. He set me free. And that's why I wrote 180 Your Life, because I want other people who are going through loss to be free too.
Can everyone be set free? The woman who's driving in her car now, who is grabbing the steering wheel, is saying, I can't take one more day.
Hold on. Hold on. And hold on to those promises and make the decisions. It's a dance. God makes the promise, but you've got to dance back, and it may come back with the wise decisions, even when it hurts. And if your wise decision today is that you're going to hold on, and you're going to make one healthy choice for yourself, you're going to love your family one more day, you just make the next best decision. And it is always to show up. Mm-hmm. It is always to be there. It is always to cry out to God. And then take the next step. That's what I did. And I tell you, I was so broken. I didn't know how I would ever laugh again, how I would ever love again. And I have to say, it doesn't happen immediately. It's 9 years out. But the grand blacksmith, using the fires of grief, has wrought something out of the fire that not even I could have imagined.
The book is 180, Your Life from Tragedy to Triumph, A Woman's Grief Guide. You can hear in Michelle's voice that this is a no-nonsense, real-deal book. And God means serious business when he grabs hold of your heart and said, let's go, doesn't
exactly.
he?
If they want to find it, you can find us at 180yourlife.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Michelle. This has been wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with our guest, Michelle Perimsky. Michelle offers such a hopeful vision to hold on to if you're in the midst of grief. Your tragedy can lead to your best life ever. Now, that might not seem possible now, especially if the pain is still new, but Michelle's story shows what's possible if you invite God into your grief. Now, you can read more about it in her book, 180 Your Life, From Tragedy to Triumph. She's also written a study guide and journal, as well as a guide to use the book with a small group. You can find these resources and learn more about her speaking ministry at her website, which is 180yourlife.com. We have a link to her site on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org as well. We've also included a link to help you find a Christian counselor in your area if you're dealing with grief or depression in your life right now. A community is so important to healing, so please don't walk through this season alone. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us today, and be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.